There's a spike in wholesale oil prices this morning worth discussing. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Crude oil this morning was up more than 2% after Saudi Arabia raised prices for oil bound for Asia. The Saudis detect higher demand, apparently. Marketplace's Scott Tong is following this. Scott, what are the Saudis doing this morning?
As you say, they've raised the selling price of crude to Asia for the second month in a row now. You may recall last fall, the Saudis and their OPEC partners did not decide to cut global supply as many expected, and the price of crude went bust. Well, many analysts think the Saudis were beginning a price war for the Asia market. They were losing the American market because we're drilling so much of it at home, so Asia was the target. Well, that Asia sales price, it's come back up a little bit, suggesting to the markets that perhaps there's a little bit more demand in that part of the world, David.
All right. Well, I'm seeing $50.33 a barrel using the Texas price. But if we step back, we just had oil prices fall after the big Iran nuclear deal. Now, if sanctions are lifted on Iran, more Iranian oil comes back to the world market and a glut can ensue, don't you think?
That was the market's immediate reaction late last week, as you say. And we could be seeing a little bit of a reconsideration of that. It would be months before that oil comes back. If it comes back, a lot of things have to happen between now and then. And in a few months, who knows where we'll be. There are signs that the U.S. oil production came back a little bit. That was reported by the U.S. government last week. So we're not sure where North American production is going to be. And as you say, the price right now is still about half of what it was last summer.
All right. And it'll be our job to keep tracking it. Marketplace's Scott Tong. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Another story we're following this morning, Greece. It owes $500 million to the International Monetary Fund with a deadline looming on Thursday. IMF head Christine Lagarde spent part of her Easter Sunday meeting with Greece's finance minister, who promises Greece will pay everything it owes. Where it gets the money for this and other debts remains unclear. Microsoft is helping researchers in Brazil study whether they can use big data to predict traffic snarls 15 minutes to an hour before they happen. Marketplace's Nova Safo has more.
Predicting the future sounds like a sci-fi movie, sort of like Minority Report. Remember that one?
All right, what he's doing now, we call scrubbing the image, looking for clues as to where the murder is going to happen.
Substitute murder plots with traffic jams, and that's pretty much what researchers in Brazil want to do with Microsoft's computing help. That's according to a video featuring Juliana Salas of Microsoft Research.
The Traffic Prediction Project uses data available by social networks, Department of Transportation, and data that the users create themselves while they move around the city.
That's great, but that data isn't new, so haven't we done the predicting thing already?
It is being done now. It can always be done better.
Peter Keen runs digital traffic systems. They provide some of the traffic data you see on apps like Google Maps. He says right now, predicting traffic relies on the past.
You have historical trends of what the volume's going to be on a given day of the week at a given time of day.
What we don't have, Keen says, is a way to combine past and current statistics. And that's where Microsoft comes in with its cloud computing power to crunch all that data. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Time for a set of fiendishly confounding questions about the global economy in the form of a quiz. Stefan Richter, editor-in-chief of The Globalist, is here to teach us something about our globalized world. Good to connect with you, Stefan.
Hi, David. Today you're in for a little bit of Pickettology. We all remember Thomas Piketty and his by now famous book, Capital in the 21st Century. Now, I don't want anybody to get engaged in the ideological or intellectual debate. I have a very simple question.
Okay.
How many billionaires are there in the world? Is it 13.7 million people? Is it 3.1 million? Is it just 2,325 or only 286?
How about it's the one that was in the 2000s, 2,300 billionaires in the world?
That's exactly right, 2,325. Now, to see how well billionaires have done, just after the financial crisis, their number globally was down to 1,360 billionaires. It's risen by now by over 70%. There are six countries, U.S., China, U.K., Germany, Russia, and India in that sequence, that account for more than half of all the world's 2,300-some billionaires. And China's rate is rising more quickly than even that in the U.S. Russia still has quite a few, but in view of the recent sanctions, Russia is going to go down. Probably Switzerland may take its place at some point. There's been a race back and forward between those two countries. But that's the global view.
Now, one of the wrong answers was 286. I know you. You usually choose your possible answers for a reason. Why that number?
To represent more than 50, around 50% of humanity, that's 286 women who are billionaires. The richest of them is Christy Walton, the daughter-in-law of Sam Walton. And, you know, that's still quite a number, but only 12% of the world's billionaires. So women have quite some place to go.
All right, Stefan Richter tweets at The Globalist. Stefan, thank you.
Good to talk with you.
The Waltons are the family that put the wall in Walmart, right? And the Wall Street Journal crunched the numbers and revealed today that the gap between the pay of bank CEOs and the pay of everyone else at their banks has shrunk since the financial crisis. Back in 2006, CEOs made 273 times the average employee salary at their banks. Now it's 124 times. Separate studies have shown that in, for instance, Japan, the CEO pay ratio across all industries is just 11 to 1. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.